Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
All right, if you have your Bible, grab it, stand to your feet, turn with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 9. We're going to read verses 27 through 31 together as the church. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. This is a story in the life of Jesus that you've probably heard of before, and we're going to use it as our main text for today to build what I feel like God is saying to the church. I would encourage you just right now, begin to open your hearts and your minds, not to what I'm going to say, but I prayed this week. And I said, God, what would you have me to say? So this hopefully isn't just what I want to say to you. It's not just philosophy. It's not just ideologies. It's not just things that hopefully are going to sound good to you. But this is hopefully going to be straight from the Lord. It's going to meet you right where you are. So let's read Matthew chapter 9, starting verse 27. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, Do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you believe that I am able to do this? It's a very important question. They said to him, Yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, See that no one knows it. But when they departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and I pray that today you would help me and anoint me by your Holy Spirit to speak to the church what you would have to say. God, I pray that our hearts and our minds and our ears would be open and receptive, that we'd be fruitful. We'd not just be hearers of the word, but be doers, but we would remember and keep in mind that being a doer begins with being a hearer. And so today we are hearers of the word. We want to hear what you have to say. God, we want to meditate on it and we want to apply it to our lives. We give you this time today in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You can be seated. Last week, we talked about how God is faithful. Today, I want to talk about how God is able. We were looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and in verse 13, it says, No temptation has overtaken you except that such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will provide a way of escape, and that he will make it to where you are able to bear it. And so we're talking about how no matter what comes our way in life, there's no temptation, which means solicitation of evil or adversity, can ever overpower the faithfulness of God. The fact that he will be there, the fact that we can count on him, that we can be confident to know that who he says he is, he actually is. And he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. When things go bad, God doesn't go away. When things turn sideways in your life and adversity comes and trials come or temptation comes, God doesn't tuck tail. He doesn't run. He's faithful. He's true. He's there. He's constant. He's always with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. I don't know about you, but I've come to realize in my life that storms are going to come, but no storm lasts forever. And God is faithful before the storm comes. He's faithful while the storm is there, and he will be faithful after the storm has passed. He is always true. The winds are going to blow. The rain is going to beat against the house, as Jesus talks about. But he said, those that hear the word of God and do them, they will have a sure foundation. That sure foundation is our faithful God. People are going to abandon you. Maybe you've experienced that in a relationship. Maybe you've experienced that at work. You had a friend, you had a family member. They abandoned you. They left you. They lied on you. They cheated on you. They forgot about you. They turned their back on you. But God will never do that. You know what I've realized? God is as faithful as the rising and the setting of the sun. Something that happens every single day, every single morning, that sun, it peaks over the horizon, no matter how long the night is. I don't know about you, but I've had some long nights in my life, whether it was a night where I was just struggling with something or I was sick. How many of you guys know when you're sick in the middle of the night, it never feels like the morning is gonna come? But sure as anything, that ball of fire peaks over the horizon, realizing that trials and temptations and adversity, it may last for the night, but you know what? Joy comes with the morning, because that sun rising reminds us that his faithfulness is in his mercies. They are new every single morning. So every time you look at that sun, there's never been a day or there's never been a night that lasted forever. Eventually the sun comes up. Eventually the sun begins to shine. That's a reminder of the faithfulness of God, because he can't be anything but faithful. It's in his nature. But you know what's so cool about God is he's not just faithful, he's able.
Yeah.
It's one thing to be faithful. I'm here for you, but I can't do anything.
Yeah.
I'm here for you, but I can't. Have you ever been that way in a relationship? Maybe someone lost a loved one, they lost a spouse, and you're like, I don't know what to say. All I can do is be there for them. All I can do there is put my arm around them. All I can do is say, I'm praying for you. It's not that prayer doesn't work. It's not that prayer isn't empowering. But sometimes we feel like there's nothing I'm able to do that could fix the pain or heal anything. But you know what? God can. He's not just faithful. He's also able. And I had this memory come to me this week as I was contemplating this message. I played baseball growing up. And I remember when I was 12 or 13 years old, I was on a baseball team and the coach had a stepson who was too young. He was supposed to be in a younger age group, but so that he could be with his stepbrother, they let him play up, okay? And some kids that play up are very good. Some kids that play up just so they can be on the team with their brother, they're not good enough. They're just there because their brother's there and their parents didn't want to go to two different games. And that was this guy. And I specifically remember one practice. I'm standing on the foul line in left field and we're warming up. We're throwing back and forth. And my coach is standing to my right and his stepson is out there missing every single ball that gets thrown to him and he's chasing it to center field. And you know, he's just so excited. He's passionate. He's there. And I remember the coach seeing him and he said to the assistant coach, he's been so excited about practice that he's been dressed in baseball socks and pants and cleats since 2 o'clock this afternoon. And I remember at 13 thinking, I can't imagine being that excited to be that bad. That just tells you what type of a person I was, okay? I needed the Lord to do a lot of healing in my heart. I can't imagine being that excited to be that bad. And you know, the thing about him was he was at every practice. He was at every game. He was faithful, but he was not very able. He was the guy that if he gets put in, you pray, please God, do not let the ball be hit to him. When it came his time in the lineup, you could just go ahead and put a backwards K on the book because he wasn't even going to swing the bat. He was there, but he was not helpful to the team. That is not a depiction of our God. He's not just faithful. He's not just going to show up. He's not just going to be there in the middle of the problem. He's able. He's the one that you do want to count on. He's the one that can do all things. And with him, nothing is impossible. He's faithful and he's also able. But you know, so God doesn't just promise to be with us. He promises to be for us. He promises to be the thing that we need in the middle and to provide a way of escape. But we only gain access to that promised power when we live in faith. Because he's faithful all the time. He's able all the time. But not everyone sees and experiences his faithfulness and his overwhelming ability. Only people that put their faith in him.
Yeah.
Only people that trust him and believe that he is faithful and believe that he is able. Faith to me is total assurance of God's infinite ability and power. Hebrews tells us it's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not yet seen. It's saying to God, I know that you can and I trust that you will.
Yeah.
We see this in the story of Matthew chapter 9 that we just read a few moments ago. These two blind men, they're seeking Jesus because they have a problem. They're inhibited in their blindness and they begin to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the Bible says that Jesus went into the house. He didn't stop on the street and see what was going on. He went into the house. Why? Because faith without works is dead. They didn't just speak, we want you. They went into the house and they followed him. And after they had gained an audience with Jesus, he looked at them and he asks them a question. They've already asked for mercy. They've already followed him into the house, but Jesus has something that he wants to know. And he poses this question to them. Do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you believe that I have the ability, the power? Do you believe that inside of me is virtue that can actually turn your blindness into sight, that can take your inability and transform it into ability. Do you believe that I possess that kind of power? Do you believe that that kind of strength and ability is actually inside of me? And what do they say? Yes, Lord. I want you to understand this today. Jesus's ability was not determined by their faith. It was activated by their faith. Good. Jesus was able whether they believed it or not.
Yeah.
Nothing is impossible for him. So us believing does not determine whether God can or not, but us believing can activate the miraculous, powerful, transformative work that only God can bring about in our life. So did Jesus ask this question because he was aloof to the answer? Is Jesus wondering, do they really? Could they possibly? No. He's asking this question because he's giving these two men the opportunity to express their faith in him and find help in the middle of their trouble and receive wholeness where they're currently broken. So I think about these two men that had this problem of being blind. That means that they had something that hindered them from experiencing life to the fullest. The beautiful thing about the scripture is you don't have to experience everything just the way that people are experiencing it, but you can look at it and you can realize there's something in their life. I might not be blind, but is there something in my life that is inhibiting me from enjoying life to the fullest? It could be a physical impairment. It could be something in your mind, an anxiety that cripples you, that keeps you from sleeping at night, keeps you from enjoying things, keeps you from being who you're called to be. It could be the hurt or the pain of a failed marriage or of a breakup that you went through or a friendship that you made some wrong decisions or they made some wrong decisions and it no longer is there. It could be the way that you raised your children and now you're reaping the seeds that you sowed and now you're wondering, why can I not experience the fullness of life that we talk about? The Bible says that he came that we can have life and life more abundantly, that the joy of the Lord is my strength. I want to live in that blessed life. I want to live joyfully. I want to live happy. I want to have an abundant life, but there's something that is impairing me and hindering me from experiencing life to the fullness. I want you to know today that you can come to Jesus if you come in faith, and he will help you overcome whatever obstacle, impairment, or difficulty that you are facing. I don't know what your condition is. It could be a spiritual condition. It could be a mental condition, a physical condition, a financial condition. It could be relational. I don't know, and I don't have to know because God knows.
Right.
And his ability is not determined by whether you believe or not, but you can activate his ability by saying, yes, Lord, I believe. The question is, do you believe? Do you have faith? I know that there's faith inside of you because the book of Romans says to each man has been given a measure of faith. So the ability to believe is there. What you need is the choice to believe. You need to activate your faith, which then activates the power of God to move in your life. This is what David said in Psalm chapter 27. In verse 13, I would have fainted. That means I wouldn't have made it. I would have thrown in the towel. I would have ended. I would have run out of strength. I would have fainted unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm going to go ahead and tell you guys, next week we're going to talk about God is good, the goodness of God. So God is faithful, God is able, and God is good. But David said, I would have fainted, I would have lost heart, I would have given up unless I had believed. Not unless I had seen it, unless I just believed that I would see it. That I kept that faith and that assurance and that trust and that confidence going inside of me, that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's one of my favorite parts of that verse, in the land of the living. David did not say, I believe that I would have fainted unless I would believe that I would see the goodness of the Lord in heaven someday. Over yonder someday, when this world has passed away and all the sin is gone and all the shame is gone and all the tears are wiped away from my eyes. He said, no, I believe I'll see it here and I will see it now. I don't have to wait until I get to heaven to see the goodness of God. I can experience his power and his goodness and his might right here on the earth. I believe for you today, you need to understand this. God is able to save you here and now. Jesus didn't just say, I came that you could have life everlasting. He said, I came that you would have life and life more abundantly. That's life for here in the now and life in the future that is to come. So Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25 says this. Therefore he, capital H, is also able to save. That word save is the Greek word sozo. I told the church a few Wednesday nights ago, and you should come study the word with us sometime on Wednesday night. We always have a great time. We're in a series right now called Saints, about being the people of God and how we ought to conduct and live as the saints of the Most High. But I told them a few weeks ago that the word sozo, the Greek word sozo, that is a word that Christians should be intimately acquainted with, because that's what Jesus came to do, is to save us, to heal us, to restore us completely, to deliver us, to protect us. He has sozo, brought sozo into our life, complete transformative salvific work. That's what he has done for us. He is able to do that. Yes. He doesn't just say he'll do it. He's able to do it. You remember when you were a kid and there was always that one, usually it was a boy, that he claimed he could do everything, yeah. Right? Like, I could jump off of that two-story building and live. You're like, okay, then do it. No, I don't want to. Right? Like, that's not how God is. He actually says it and then he can do it. He is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. Notice, who does he save? Those that come to God through Jesus Christ. He's the only way to get to the Father. Since he always lives to make intercession for you. That word uttermost means completely. He is able to save completely, not partially. You see, Jesus doesn't offer parole. He offers pardons. Sometimes we have this parole mentality. You know, parole is we'll let you go, but you could always have the possibility of going back to jail if you violate your probation. No, Jesus says, I offer you complete and total pardon. I'm able not just to save you out of sin, but from the grips of sin, so that you don't go back to it, so that you don't live that way anymore. He is able to save completely to the uttermost. Why? Because he always lives to make intercession for us. You know what that means? That means that Jesus is currently seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's in his ear praying for you. Yeah. Jesus isn't just up there twiddling his thumbs wondering, because no man knows the hour, no man knows the day, only the Father holds that. Jesus isn't just sitting there like, I wonder when I'm going to go. He's spending that time. He told us he was going to prepare a place for us, but he's also seated at the right hand of the Father, according to Hebrews chapter 7, making intercession for you and for me. He's continually in the ear of God, and he's asking and praying and standing in the gap for you and for me. I don't know about you guys, but my children love to call the front seat. Shotgun. I call sitting up front. And the other day, Judah tried it. I call up front, and Bo had already come to me and said, Dad, can I sit up front? So see, Judah tried to call it, but Bo came to the Father and asked if he could do it. Right? So who got to sit up front? Bo. Because he came and he asked me. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and whatever he asks, you can bet and believe it's the perfect will of God, and he's praying it for you and for your life. There is not any aspect of your life that he cannot bring deliverance, healing, restoration, restitution, or help in. He is able to save completely. Hebrews 2:18 assures us of this. For in that he himself, Jesus, has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. So he's not just able to save you, he's able to aid you when you're tempted to go astray again. You know, I got saved when I was 5 years old. I remember my dad pulled the van, the minivan, over on the side of the road, and we prayed a prayer, and I believe in that moment I got saved. But I also believe that, you know, the Bible talks about to those of us who are being saved, that it's the power of God. I've been being saved now for years and years and years. But just because I prayed that prayer when I was 5 years old doesn't mean that I was never tempted to go astray again. Yeah. It doesn't mean that I was never drawn away and enticed by my own desires. It doesn't mean that problems and adversity and difficulties never came. So I have to keep in mind that he's able to bring aid even in the middle of when I'm being tempted. Yeah. Yes, I'm saved, but I'm still going to be tempted because I live in the middle of a fallen, sinful world. And there's still an Adamic nature inside of me that I have to wake up every single day and say, I say no to that so that I can say yes. I die to me so that I can live in Christ, right? But he's able to bring aid to those that are being tempted, when you are visited by adversity, when evil is knocking at your door and you're being enticed by a nagging fleshly desire, which is inside of each and every one of us, you can know this: God is able to help you. He's able to save you. He's able to deliver you. You aren't without help. He isn't just faithful. He's not just there saying, "I'm with you." He's able to do something about it. Yeah. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest. It doesn't end there, thank God. We don't have a high priest. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? We don't have a high priest. No, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. What does that mean? That means the one that is able to aid and to help when we're tempted, he's one that's already passed the test. He knows how to do it. He knows how to get through. He knows what you need. He knows how to help you to say no. Because he felt what you feel, he's able to bring aid in every single situation. God understands. God sees. God knows. You will never find yourself in a predicament that all of a sudden he goes, out of my league. Out of my area of expertise. I'm sorry. I've never had that happen before. You know, I've heard of doctors saying, we've never seen this before, but the great physician has seen everything.
That's right.
I've heard of, you know, contractors looking at a problem in your house or foundation experts. We've never seen this before. We're not really sure what to do. You'll never have that with God. You'll never have that with Jesus. We have a high priest who can sympathize with our weakness, because in every way that we're tempted, he was tempted and he passed the test and he defied all odds and he beat every temptation. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Remember what he's doing? Praying.
Yeah.
You got the perfect prayer warrior, yeah, in the ear of God praying for you. The question is, do you believe that he's able? You see, we have to come to the place where we believe he's able, but we trust him even if he doesn't do it the way we want him to do it, or when we want him to do it, or how we want him to do it. And I think about this story in Daniel chapter 3, and we're going to read in just a moment from that passage of scripture. But there were these three Hebrew boys. You guys know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they had been taken captive from Israel and or from Judah and brought to Babylon. And there was the wicked king Nebuchadnezzar, and he sets up a golden image for himself on the plain of Dura. And he says, every time that you hear the flute and all these instruments play, you and my subjects are going to bow down and you're going to worship this golden image. But the problem with the Hebrews was that they had been told by their God that they should not make any graven images and that they should not worship anyone but Yahweh, the one true God. So they received this threat because Nebuchadnezzar says, you need to do this. And if you don't do it, I'm going to kill you by throwing you into a fiery furnace. Well, the music plays and those three stubborn boys decide, we will not bow to any God but Yahweh. And so the leaders come to Nebuchadnezzar and they say, hey, king, there's these three Hebrews and they're being stubborn and they will not bow. So he says, okay, bring them to me. And because they still won't bow. And this is what happens. This is what is said in Daniel 3:16-18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, because he's threatening to throw them in the fiery furnace, if that is the case, our God whom we serve, listen to this, is able to deliver us. So they believed God is able. Remember what Jesus asked the two blind men? Do you believe that I'm able to do this? They said, they stated and declared by faith, we believe God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from, not just from the fiery furnace, he'll deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. So they believed God was able, but they were going to continue to trust even if he didn't. Here's the beautiful thing, because I've heard people preach that a lot more eloquently than myself, and even if he doesn't, but if he doesn't, we won't bow, even if he doesn't. Here's the beautiful thing, he did.
Yeah, he did.
He did.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and preach to you a God that says he's able, but then doesn't follow through. He was able, and he did it. He was faithful to do it.
Yeah.
He brought them through. He brought them out of the fiery furnace. They made it seven times hotter. They bound them in their turbans and they tied them with ropes. And even the men that went to throw them into the furnace perished in the fire. But when they fell in there, Nebuchadnezzar said, wait a second. I thought we threw three guys into the furnace, but I see four walking around and one is like the Son of God. And he says, go get them. And he brings them out. And the Bible says their hair wasn't singed and the scent of smoke wasn't even on their clothes. So he protected them, he preserved them, and in the last verse of Daniel chapter 3 says this, then Nebuchadnezzar promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You see, sometimes you wonder, if God is able, then why does he let me go through the fire? If God was able to deliver him, why didn't he deliver him before he threw him in the furnace? If God's so powerful and God's so mighty, why didn't he keep them from the peril and the trial and the tribulation? Because there's some things that God can only bring about in your life when he brings you through the fire.
That's right.
And sometimes that testing and that trial is meant to bring about promotion in your life. And you say, I believe God's able, even if he doesn't, I'm still not going to serve the gods of this world. I'm still not going to bow. I'm not going to do what is wrong. But I'm telling you, if you will be faithful to a faithful God, and you will trust in his ability, he may allow you to go in the furnace, but he'll also bring you out of the furnace, and he's going to have promotion. He will protect, he will preserve, and he will promote you.
Yes.
Promotion comes not from the east, nor from the south, nor from the west, but the Lord exalts one and sets down another. You just keep trusting him and believe he is able. Let me give you some scriptural foundation that informs us of how able God is. We've already read so many scriptures that say he's able, he is able, God is able, he is able. There's more. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you. Pastor Jeff already declared this earlier in the sower's blessing. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. That's some good news.
Yeah, it is.
That is some really good news. Think about this. Grace is favor. It's favor that you don't deserve. God is able and powerful enough to make all kinds of favor come your way so that you will never be in lack. Remember what David prayed in Psalm chapter 23? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know what most other translations say? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Why? Because he had an able shepherd. He had a shepherd who wasn't just faithful and saying, I'm here, but I'm here. And I'm able, I'm powerful, I can provide for you, I can protect you, I can preserve you, I can promote you, I can help you, and I will bring aid because I've been there with you. I can sympathize with your weakness. He knows that we are but flesh, and he is faithful and he is able to be there and to show up and to help us and to make all grace abound to you. If you need favor in your life, maybe you need to begin to realize that I need to trust and believe and be confident that he's able to do this. What if Jesus would have said to those two blind men, do you believe I'm able to do this? And one would have looked at the other and said, well, I don't know. Do you? I think so. No, they said, yes, Lord.
Yeah.
Yes, we believe that you are able. So many times we get in life and we get in situations and we're like, where's the grace? Where's the favor? Where's the blessing? Where's the promotion? Where's the preservation? Where's the protection? Where's God's hand on my life? And I think God is saying, well, do you believe that I'm able? Or are you just going to question where I am? And we're sitting there in the fire. And he's saying, just believe I'm able. And he will. He will deliver you. We got that promise last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. He'll be faithful and he'll be able. 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul says this to his spiritual son Timothy. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed in. And am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. So Paul's saying, in essence, he was willing to suffer because he was confident in God's ability to effectively guard whatever he had put into the hands of the Lord. That starts with our life, our body, our finances, our children, everything that flows out. We say, I know that I'm confident he can keep it. He can guard it. He can protect it. It's safer in his hands than it is in mine. He is able. to effectively guard those things and keep those things that I entrust to him. Jude chapter 1, verse 24. The only chapter, but the verse 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. That's an incredible promise, isn't it? And presents you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I want you to understand this truth today. You can't keep you from stumbling, but he can. Jude doesn't say, I thank my God that I am able to keep myself from stumbling. No, he says, he's able to keep you from stumbling. If you continue to stumble and trip up and fall and fail and sin and mess up, guess what? He's able. He can help you. You don't have to just succumb to that and go, well, I just accept that this is my weakness, this is my sin, this is my inherent failure, this is my lot in life. No, I choose to believe he's able to keep me from stumbling. He's able to keep me from falling short and failing. He's powerful enough to do that. On your own, you're destined to fail and fail a lot. However, in him is the ability to walk worthy of the calling with which you have been called, which is what Paul tells us to do in Ephesians. Let's look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations. That's such an important part of this verse, to all generations. The promise that God was able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask or think was not made to the church in Ephesus in the first century. It was made to every generation that would come after. As long as the world continues, God is able. As long as the church goes on, God is able. He's faithful and he has the power and the ability and the might to do what this book says that he can do. What we've seen him do in the past, we can believe that he will be able to do it again. I believe that what Paul was trying to communicate can be summed up like this. Our finite minds cannot contain the infinite ability of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly. He's trying to throw these huge words, almost hyperbolic to a certain extent. You guys, you don't even understand how much God is able to do. You never will. It supersedes your human knowledge. The wisest, smartest people in the world can't figure this out. It exceeds human rationale, what God is able to do. We can't understand it. No mind can comprehend the overwhelming wonder of his greatness. Yet he welcomes us into that greatness when we just come in faith. It's interesting, if you study this passage in Greek, now to him who is able, that word able is the Greek word dunamai. It means to be able or to have the power to. But when he says, according to the power that works in us, it's a related Greek word, which is dunamis, which is found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You will receive dunamis when you will receive power when the Holy Ghost is, or the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so both of these words speak of power. Now unto him who has the power to do exceedingly and abundantly. So dunamai is means to be able to have the power to, while dunamis is a noun. So dunamai is a verb and dunamis is a noun. It means power, ability, or might. Essentially, dunamai is the action of being able to do something. Yeah. And dunamis is the inherent capability or force that enables that action. Yeah. They are directly related, as dunamai is the root verb from which the noun dunamis is derived, much like English words such as dynamite, dynamic. Yesterday when Brother Dale was speaking to the strongman, he said, dynamite, right? Dynamite, dynamic. So, but I want you to see it's related. Because God is dunamai, we have dunamis. That's good. Because God is dynamic. Because God is power. Because God is able. Because God has might. Because God has strength. Because nothing is impossible with him. If he's inside of us, nothing's impossible for us. Because we're doing it with him. But I want to circle back to Matthew chapter 9. Where we started. Verse 28. It says this, and when Jesus had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes were opened. My question to you today is this. Will you come to him? When they came to him, you see, they cried out and he kept walking and he went to the house. So you know what they did? They gave up and they stayed blind. No, they followed him into the house. They came to him in their inability. You know, it was probably hard enough just to walk along the side of the road, much less to find the door and to gain entrance to the house and to come to Jesus. But they came to him. My question is this: will you come to Jesus today with your inability, with your inefficiency, with your struggle, with your adversity, with your problem, with the thing that is hindering you from experiencing life to the fullness? Because we all have something. I would venture to say that most, if not all of us, have at least one thing that is inhibiting us from experiencing life to the fullness. And they would not have gotten the healing and the deliverance and the joy and the full experience of life if they didn't come to Jesus. So as you stand to your feet with me today, there's a song that was on my heart all morning. In fact, I have these noise-canceling headphones, and I was praying in my bedroom this morning, and I put this song on in my headphones, and I'm just jamming to this song. My faith is just on high, and I'm in the bedroom, and I can't hear anything. My eyes are closed, and Madison taps me on the shoulder, and I turned around and did this right here. That's how into it I was. And she looked at me, and she was like, "Maybe you don't need to use those headphones." I was like, "Maybe you don't need to sneak up on people like that. You're liable to get hit. You don't know. I've got kung fu moves. I'm secret. Like, I'm protecting this house. You know what I'm saying? From my wife." You got to watch yourself. You know, check yourself. I'm dangerous. I'm a dangerous person. Not really. I have never hit my wife. I just want to go on public record and state, I've never laid a hand on that woman violently. But this song, it was playing. And it just says, "God is more than able." Over and over again on the chorus. And so what I want to do is I want to invite you today to come find a place in the altar and come to Jesus. Like those blind men when they came. And listen, you may say, "You know what, Spencer, that's kind of scary. To come up to the altar, to leave my seat." You imagine these guys feeling, they can't even see where they're going. They had to press through the crowd. They had to find the door. They had to overcome obstacles. They had to overcome their pride because what they wanted was greater than what they were feeling. I want you to know this today. We could make a list. You could not surprise God today. This is what it is. It's $1 million in debt. He's able. It's a cancer, diagnosis. He's able. It's a relationship that's been broken for 30 years. He's able. The question is not, is he able? The question is, do you believe he's able and will you come and bring it to him? So right now, just come and bring it to the Lord. Remember what Jesus said when he lifted his arms and he was in Jerusalem in Matthew chapter 11. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy and my burden, it's light." So Father, I thank you that you're more than able. And God, we bring our problems to you. Peter said we can cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. And so God, we come to you like those two blind men did in Matthew chapter 9. And they brought their inability. They brought their impairment. And you were able to heal them. So right now, maybe you just need to say, "God, I believe you're able. I put it at your feet." Tell him what the problem is. Tell him what the trouble is. Tell him what the circumstance is. Tell him what the diagnosis was. Tell him what the mountain is that you're facing. Tell him what the mess that you have created. Tell him the mess that's been poured on you. And just say, "God, I bring it. I believe you're more than able. I believe you can do it." The bridge of this song says, "Can you imagine with all the faith in the room what the Lord can do?" Jesus said to them, "According to your faith, let it be done for you." I say that over you today. According to your faith, let it be done for you. If we can turn that up just a little bit, Shane. I want everybody to be able to hear this. I want this to get inside of your spirit. I want you to sing it and believe it over and over again. Who am I to deny what the Lord can do? God is able. Come on, just pour it out on His feet today. Give it to Him. Believe that He's able. Declare that He's able. Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly, even what you're imagining right now, maybe you're thinking about how great it's going to be when He heals you, how great it's going to be when He brings you through, how awesome it's going to be. You can't even imagine. Paul said, you guys can't wrap your mind around it. The human intellect cannot get there. He is able to do so much more than we believe that He is. But that's not going to keep us from believing. God, we believe You're able to deliver us. Even if You don't, we're not going to stop trusting You. Even if Your timetable doesn't work like our timetable, we'll keep trusting. And we bring it to You today, God, and we will not deny what You are able to do. I thank You that You're able to make all grace abound to us so that in all things, at all times, having all that we need, we can abound in every good work. I pray that over Your people today in Jesus' name. How many of you guys are up here for a physical impairment? There's something you need healing in your body. I see 1, 2, 3. Father, I thank You that You are the great physician. Jesus, I thank You that Your word says, by Your stripes, we were healed. And I thank You that You haven't stopped healing. You haven't run out of dynamic power. You are still able to do exceedingly and abundantly. And we pray the prayer of faith today. And we ask that You would heal bodies. God, we thank You that You said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that the Spirit gives the gifts severally as He wills. And one of the gifts is the gifts of healings. And I pray for healing to be released into bodies right now by the mighty name of Jesus. That as Jesus said when that woman touched the hem of His garment, that she had a flow of blood for 12 years. And she had spent all of her money on doctors. And she was still in the same condition that she had been before she ever went to them. Jesus said, who touched me? Healing virtue flowed out of my body. I pray for healing virtue to flow into bodies today and to heal backs, to heal knees, to heal autoimmune diseases. God, I thank You that there is nothing that You cannot do. I know that this may be embarrassing to admit, but sometimes we have to overcome our embarrassment and come to Him like those blind men. How many of you are up here for a financial situation? You have something financially you need God to do for you. It's a mountain that you cannot move on your own. You can't climb on your own. You need God to provide. Lord, I thank You that You are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. You are able. Lord, it may come through a promotion at job and making more money. It may come through a new job. It may be an inheritance that we didn't know was coming. God, it may be just monies finding us or being discovered by us. But Lord, I thank You that You're going to provide because it is Your will for people to be the head and not the tail. God, we're going to be the lender and not the borrower. And so, Lord, I pray that You would give us special grace to get out of debt, to overcome financial obstacles. Lord, I pray for those today that are here for a relational thing. There's something that they are bringing to You saying, I can't fix this. I've tried. I've called them. I've texted them. I've tried to set up lunch. I've tried to have interventions, but nothing seems to be working. They're turning a deaf ear to me. God, I thank You that You are able to bring restoration. And Lord, I pray that there would be just a special grace for restoration of relationships, prodigals to come home. I thank You that You are able to make all things new. And we declare today, say this with me, church, God is able. God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, according to the dunamis, that dynamic working ability that He is giving to us through the Holy Spirit. So we say, work in us, God. Work through us. And I thank You that nothing is impossible with You. We declare You are able in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Would you just lift your hands and receive this blessing today? May the Lord bless you and keep you. Cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up His countenance upon you. May He keep you in His peace, smile all over you, and may you remember our God is able. There is nothing that he cannot do. As the old song says, my God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There is nothing my God cannot do for you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he will do for you. With arms wide open, he'll come to you. It is no secret what God can do. What seems insurmountable to you, it's a little thing to God. Not a little thing in a way like he doesn't care, but little in like, it's not hard. It's not something he can't handle. He's got it. Do you believe he is able? Declare every single day, I believe you're able. I believe you are able. I believe you can do it. I put it in your hands. I trust you. Even if you don't, I'll still trust you, but I believe you can. I know you can. I've seen you do it before, and I'll see you do it again. I speak God's best and blessing over you as you stay in faith in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Don't forget, we have a baptism directly following service. We hope to see you guys out there. Love you. Have an awesome week. Hope to see you Tuesday night at prayer, Wednesday night at service.